If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This is the Sound of Succession podcast with Jamie East and Chris Mandel. It's part of the Dragon Cast series where we talk about the best TV shows in the world. HBO, please don't sue us.
You know what to do, like and subscribe, ah, fuck off!
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another delicious, delightful episode of The Sound of Succession. I'm Jamie East.
And I'm Chris Mandel.
Sorry I was late this morning, I was just busy, I was just on an IV. I've just drained half a litre of blood to freeze into a brick. I know I've sent you 30 already. It was a joke at first, then it stopped being a joke, and I kind of feel like it was a joke again. Mm. It's not a joke anymore, is it?
I have been meaning to talk to you about this. Okay. I haven't got any room in my freezer for my fish fingers, so you need to stop it with the...
Okay, I'll stop it. I'll stop it. I won't sack you. I know you're pregnant, but would you like some cocaine?
The way that they didn't even acknowledge
that's how rich people do drugs.
Yes. Okay, let's just talk about that very quickly and then we'll go back to the start.
Yeah.
They didn't even reference they were doing it. Yeah. And Shiv spent about 7 minutes getting a little bit on her tiny little spoon. And that made me laugh so much because I thought the whole thing was going to be, is she going to do coke just to like be one of the boys?
But she didn't do it, did she?
I don't think we saw her do it.
No, I don't think she did. I like to think that even that would be too low for a Roy.
And I try not to go on my phone when I'm watching Succession. But I'm aware that I'm going to sound like a massive idiot. I was Googling, can you do coke when you're pregnant?
Only a 30-year-old gay man would Google that in all honesty. It's like, actually, I don't know. This might be a thing.
I thought it might be like red wine, where it's like, the science said no, and now women
now,
are
now you can have half a glass of red wine in your first trimester. I wonder if that's the same with a bump off a key in a pub toilet.
Also, thank you for calling me 30.
30-ish.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, no, it's not a good idea, but I thought, hey, who knows?
Who knows anymore? But the thing is, well, look, if you can get if Michael Jackson get his doctor to inject him with whatever the fuck it was that Michael Jackson was injected, when you're rich, your doctors can smooth corners on anything.
Yeah. Also, this kid doesn't have to be intelligent.
or even have enough oxygen in its brain. Oh, my
this
God.
This kid doesn't need to make eye contact with anyone.
Oh, dear. Right. Okay. Rewind, as the crowd say, go select it. Right. Great episode. We've not really spoken about it at all. We've literally just pressed record because we were about to start doing a pre chat about it, and I, you said, what a fucking great episode, and I said, had a little bit of everything, didn't it? And it really did. Oh
yeah, it had. Okay, let's go through all the things it had. It had the siblings,
yep,
going at each other's throats. Mm-hmm. It had everybody flying to an exotic location.
Yep.
It had someone pissing against a rock on a very high, high mountain, which is quite a recurring thing of people just like urinating in inappropriate places.
Yeah, on yeah.
What else did it have?
It had, I mean, in terms of themes, it had just everything. It had desperation, it had sadness, it had pathos, it had anger, it had farce, it had, deviance, it had...
Yeah,
just it was fucking great, and
it also had a twist that I feel like we didn't even anticipate.
No,
the main thing in the episode, which is Matheson also wants ATN, and you know we have a lot of time to think about this, and you suddenly go, oh shit, that is a spanner in the works. Like this changes everything.
Well, because we've been so obviously so caught up, as have Roman and Ken and Shiv, in the death of Logan. So we've not been thinking about Matheson really, or his angle, or actually, as it turns out, his seemingly not just a kind of personal, oh, I'm just going to spend my bills on this. I think there's something going on there. We learn that there's multiple layers to Matheson as a human being, and not all of them the healthy, fit, clever Scandi that we thought. But on top of that, there are seemingly underlying business pressures on him as well.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, the whole, if I had to pick a theme for this episode, everyone, bar none, in this episode at one point was terrified.
Yeah. I kept thinking of like everyone's like on a trying to get on a life raft, or there's like only a few life rafts on the sinking ship, and they're all, you've got the kill list at the end of the episode, which we'll get to later.
Yeah,
but you've also got the siblings going like, oh my god, this Matheson guy is actually terrifying, because they can't get into his head. And I think actually the show has been really clever with not using him really since last season, but even then it was quite sparing. And so you've got this guy that he's a bit like a Terminator, because you don't understand how he thinks. We don't understand how to hurt him.
No.
You haven't got as much money as him.
There's such a big cultural divide between the two of them anyway.
Yes. It's so important that he's a Swede, because I think the cultural clash in this episode was what was so confusing. And whether like they were all happy to go to like the staff disco, or to go into the saunas together, or to drink. They would, you know, they felt like just so like a unit.
Yeah.
And all of the Americans just felt like these bickering little rats were all fighting over scraps of food.
Didn't you find it comforting that even when you're a multi-billionaire, like top of the exec pile, a works away trip are all as bad as each other?
Yeah.
They're just,
but I would love to go on that trip.
I mean, hang on a sec. Let's not deny that place was like literally a dream place. And very early on, you know, they just didn't get the beauty of it at all. It was just kind of it was small. They're standing in the most beautiful like chalet I've ever seen with a running river going. It's just like, oh my god,
beautiful. Man. And Ken was just like, the rooms are small. The room is so fucking small. Exactly. I can see Roman from my window. And this is all, you know, they're used to having their own penthouses. They're just not used to this. And the scale of it is really interesting, because the whole point is that it's like, you're in nature, and we've built all these cabins, but like we haven't pulled any trees up to do it.
But
to them, it's like, oh, you could only build a small cabin. That's really lame.
Yeah.
The culture thing was what was so fascinating, that like the Waystar just do not have retreats. They don't have corporate wellness. They don't have like well-being.
Have they ever done anything like that? They did the golf thing in the pilot episode. We haven't really seen.
I think the company's too big. I think the company's too big, and I think it's not Logan's way. Logan wants you to constantly fight for your job, whereas you know this company is all about, hey, like holistic, like even if it's bullshit, which it kind of is, because as we know from meeting Ebba, who's Lucas's head of comms. You know, yeah. She's his ex-girlfriend, and she's getting sent bricks of frozen blood. Even in this sort of Eden, there is loads of, you know, people, yeah. men being cunts, basically.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
it's still kind of such a culture clash. And that was what made it so enticing, that these guys just yeah. haven't got a fucking clue how to be. But yeah, I think you're right. I think tension and sort of terror were just top of the agenda.
Yeah. Well, we open with, it could have come from season two, could have come from season one.
Yeah.
Rap on the stereo. Decent shades are back on.
Kendall back in his suits. I mean, the Kendall of season three is like dead and buried, right?
Yeah.
He's corporate Ken.
He's the boss. He's the boss. Walks in, gets an applause, which kind of startles him. Gets additional manpower, which he says, can the additional manpower fuck off until I need them? Which was great. Hugo kind of like trying to, oh, we can do this. Should we get a photo of this? And Kendall was just like, should we not do the bad version? He's like, oh yeah, yeah, let's not do the bad
thing. CE Bros, that was the idea.
What
CE
was
Bros.
It? Yeah.
CE Bros.
CE Bros.
Which is funny because, you know, last episode it was like, we've got to keep Shiv in the decision making. And yeah. obviously, you know, the C-suite are like, what if it's about you two?
Yeah.
You know,
well,
there was a lot
Roman,
of that in this episode.
There were quite a few points in this episode where Roman actually, you could tell Roman is still playing the Shiv game where he wants her involved and thinks she should be involved. It was him that kept calling her in. Oh, where's Shiv? We need to get Shiv in. And you could see that Kendall was just like, who? Oh, shit. Yeah okay, fine.
He
yeah,
looked okay. cross as well a few times when they weren't able to. I felt like there were times when it felt like Ken and Roman, it was like a seance where they were trying to channel Logan's ghost.
Yeah.
What do we do? What do we do? And Roman's going, let's get Shiv. And I just don't think Ken like that. I thought no. he looked quite sour quite a lot
yeah,
when
yeah,
that was
yeah.
happening.
100%. So what's bubbling? Short range top lines.
Yeah. The interesting thing is that they get sort of summoned to this retreat, don't they? And
yes. all
they
of
have
them
to bring
as well. So
everyone.
Not, yeah. So they knew that they were going, but then all of a sudden it's like, and again, this plays into the, they all thought it was a power play by Matheson. Whereas actually, I think someone actually said it. It's like, oh, they want to get the deal done. It's like, yeah, they. And as it transpires, he needs to get this deal done a lot more than Waystar do. You know, they were kind of like, why do they want everyone yeah. here now? Why? And the whole kill list thing, the whole kind of sizing up
yeah.
and working out who's
they've
doing
already
what.
Figured out like who they're bringing over.
Yeah,
that's how
quickly they need this to happen.
Yeah, yeah, it's all there.
And they didn't see it. None of them saw it. That was it. They were immediately kind of like, oh, what's this fucking genius doing? He's going to fucking eat us
yeah.
alive. And right, we've
I
got
think
to-
also the kids see it as really insulting. And I thought a lot of this episode was about them just really struggling to adapt to being in charge.
It is really insulting. And we'll come on to that final speech from the monologue from Roman later on. It is insulting. Their dad died 2 days ago. Two fucking
yeah.
days ago. And already...
Yeah.
they're having to fly over to Sweden.
Yeah. I meant, though, also insulting in the sense that they were like, why can't us three just go? Why
yes.
do they need Jerry?
Okay,
why do
yeah,
they need Frank?
Yeah.
I think it's very like, we don't need someone to hold our hands.
But Logan would have seen through that. Logan
yeah.
would have gone, he's fucked. He needs us all there. He wants to do the deal quickly. He's desperate.
He wants he wants to size everyone up, and he wants, and it's a bit like when they met the Pierces
yeah.
in season two.
Yeah.
We want to see how you interact, how you fit into our world. Are you going to go in the sauna
yeah.
or are you going to sit outside bitching?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
are you going to play with bow and arrows or are you going to just, you know, scuff
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tom's
yeah.
shoes? You know, it's all like sizing people up. And I think it the kids just saw it as like, we're the new dad. We're the new Logan. Like we can go and do this deal.
Yeah.
And I thought all of it was fascinating that they just couldn't provide a united front. There
no,
was like constant like Tom turning on Greg, Shiv turning on Tom, Jerry, Hugo, Frank, all getting shut out of conversations where they would be an asset. They didn't even go on the same jet.
Yeah,
two planes. You know.
Yeah, well, Greg was Greg was on the other plane as well, wasn't he? Yeah.
Okay. Can we just very quickly talk about Greg?
Yeah.
I am convinced.
Yeah. I'm with
something
you. I think you're right.
Is going on.
I think you're right. You're
they
absolutely
are,
right.
He is in. First of all, they are meaner than they've ever been to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's weird because he's, you know, there was talk of him leak his journalist date leaking stuff, but I don't think it's that.
No,
they're being way meaner than they need to be, and he's inserting himself into conversations that even he knows
he shouldn't be in. Yeah,
like they're just not going to be nice to you. Stop trying to be their friend. So I think something's going on, and I'd like to know what if you have any thoughts. There was also,
I agree with you, and I don't know what. But the fact that there was the moment where, you know, the script is so lean, you know, every word counts, as we have said before. Mm-hmm. And yet they took the time in this episode, in this packed episode, to spend like a 60th of the episode talking about reestablishing who Greg is and what his standing is in the scheme of things.
Yeah.
There is no reason for Matheson to have a fucking care or a clue of who Greg is.
Yeah.
And that scene with Tom kind of like was a pure mechanic to get Greg into the conversation, because there was no other way to get Greg at that table with those guys without Tom calling him over, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I completely agree. He's Ewan is Logan's brother.
Yeah.
I thought Ewan was Greg's granddad. Is that right? Because he called him Logan's nephew, which made me think Ewan is his father, but that can't be right, because I thought the joke was that Greg's dad was secretly gay, because Ewan used to always be like, your dad was like sucking people's dicks such and such early on.
Maybe it was just like a throwaway where Kendall doesn't really know.
Yeah, because Matheson was like,
he's called cousin Greg, so he's
the kid's cousin.
He's the kid's cousin, so hang on a sec.
I wouldn't make him Logan's nephew, would it?
Yeah.
Is Ewan his uncle? Is Ewan his...
So whose cousin is he? Is he... So cousin Greg, right? Hold on a sec. Oh, hold on. Here we go. He's the first cousin once removed from... Greg Hirsch is Logan's great nephew. Right, so he's a great nephew.
Right, great nephew. And in this episode, they just said nephew because when you get to that level,
doesn't really matter.
You just start saying
you're on the perimeter. Yeah, okay, fine.
Okay, that makes sense.
So
I thought really interesting that they really hammered that in. He is a Logan descendant as well.
Yeah,
and I thought it's hard to sort of get a sense of it because even with the subtitles, they didn't subtitle the Swedish, but when they started making fun, they started making fun of the family by the
in
sound
Swedish
of
in
Swedish. That seemed to be the thing that really fucked Ken and Roman off, where it was like, whoa, like we can make fun of Greg but you can't, but also just we have no way of cutting through this because you can speak our language and we can't speak yours.
What do we think
Greg is being reminded how important he is.
Well, we're certainly being reminded that he's an established kind of role in it. He got brought into Kendall. Kendall invited him in again to do his dirty work. It wasn't part coke. It wasn't part coke this time. It was it was
kind leaking.
Of like, taking a burner phone and leaking. Shiv has seen through this like straight away. She didn't buy at the beginning with the stories that Hugo kind of leaked that he was instructed to at the end of the last episode have all gone to press. Shiv was just like, what the fuck are you doing? You know, isn't this strange? And, you know, she doesn't buy any of like Kendall's denials of that.
Yeah, that was interesting because obviously last episode, Ken said he was going to start sort of besmirching slightly. And we saw him use that in this episode saying, you know, Logan's presence has not been important lately.
Yeah.
It doesn't affect the deal. Like we're the sort of connective tissue.
Yeah.
But his attempts to sort of like sell stories to the press and sort of have anonymous sources hasn't really...
And I wonder if all of that is just to upset the apple cart with Shiv. You know, that it's a really interesting dynamic at the moment, and it's on a knife's edge, and it's kind of teetering all the time. There was the bit where, you know, Kendall and Roman were really tired, kind of like trying to get under the skin of Matheson on the plane, and Kendall said, "What did he say? Oh, we're death wrestling with ogres here." And Shiv was just like, "No, you're reading documents, mate." Yeah. Fucking word.
And they're trying to like understand the company. Like they're trying to it feels like they're trying to almost, they may as well be looking at like a painting to try and understand. They're like, what does it mean? Like, what does it say that like the film studio is down and the cruises is up and the da 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 da. But I think they're trying to understand Logan. They're trying to, I thought this so much this episode, it was like, they're trying to be Logan by going, well, I'm dressing like this. I'm flying in the jet. I'm sitting in his seat on the jet. And no, but they still can't make head nor tail of like his instincts. They just don't have his instincts.
Well,
and
that's the thing is that they're there looking for the method.
Yeah.
Whereas Logan's already told them there's no method to it. It's madness. He said,
and it's instinct.
It just feels right. And that's, and Logan said that in the, at the end of season three.
And it, I think the biggest thing that like, that's sort of, that commits to that idea is when they are taught, you know, the C-suite are like, guys, what's the tactic? Ken just writes down a number, 144. It is, that is the number. Yeah. Anything higher, good. Anything lower, bad. And they just had no concept of what if he says, I'll give you a higher number, but I want ATN. They just hadn't even entertained because they don't know how he thinks and they don't know how they think. And I think that was the big battleground, was like, not do we want to run a news company? It's do we want to sell Dad's legacy to someone who sees it as a load of parts? Or do we want to continue the legacy?
Yeah. I mean, Matheson's takedown of at the table about the parts shop was just fucking brilliant. It was so good because it was just absolutely true. You know, the movie that they were trying to get them all to watch. What was it called?
What's it called? Calypsotron Hibernation, which is a 3-hour movie about a sleepy robot. and he's asleep for 2 hours of that 3-hour movie.
And there was a movie poster in Kendall's office as well behind them called Eric is a Spinner, which I really want to watch. I don't care
maybe in season two there was this old gag about a film that they produced called like The World's Biggest Turkey or something.
Oh God, yes.
There was something really. Oh. But it was like moderately successful.
Yeah.
But it was just.
But all of that was kind of window dressings. You know, they were talking. But, you know, and look, without shitting where I eat, I've been in meetings with huge. In some of my former lives, I've been in a boardroom with billionaires who don't understand the toxicity of their brand. Mm. And I've had to argue the case that maybe certain elements of their portfolio isn't as well liked as they think it is because they have no fucking clue.
Yeah.
So for them to argue that the cruises is an ace up their sleeve, given the fact that it's I don't know, they may as well have Jeffrey Epstein fucking running it. It's just insane. And then trying to smokescreen, oh, this move is a disaster, but don't worry, we've got it. It's just so complicated. It's not, you know, it's just really not. But what they're doing is they're trying to make the content seem king because that's what they've got. Matheson's got the app, they've got the content. That was what Logan's deal was all about.
The it seems so interesting that this episode is this week, given that on Friday BuzzFeed News closed.
Yeah.
Like, forever.
Yeah.
And that company is now BuzzFeed, the like non-news stuff, Huffington Post, Complex. They have an e-commerce platform. They have all these different bits and pieces now. They have Tasty, the cooking videos that they sell homeware through that. You know, media companies are made of parts and some people use those parts to make some things, but when you sell them, you can take those things apart and build new things. They're like Lego bricks, really. And it's just also interesting when you think about the Fox Dominion lawsuit last week,
which got because settled.
Fox said the problem with the election was the voting computers malfunctioned, and the company that made them said, we are not going to be responsible for this insurrection that happened on the 6th of January.
Yeah, that and was on there you. Was this,
they were like, hey, you can't just say it's our fault. What if you didn't call the election? And that has been a really interesting case study in how a company weaponizes and then doesn't know how to stop weaponizing its media arm. And that's kind of what Matheson was saying with ATN. He was like, I want it to be more Bloomberg. I want it to be grey. I want it to be a little bit less angry. And they sort of think, but dad wanted it to be like this. We can't have it change.
But there's the rub. There's the rub. What did he say it was? It was small men with big veins. And then Roman said, but fat wallets. And then Matheson says, yeah, I want it to be a bit more Bloomberg. The problem is his idea is just as bad as ATN is right wing. Because Roman's right. Yeah, have the fucking ideological CNN slash Euronews slash whatever you want. Great. You'll sleep better, but you won't make any fucking money. And that is the problem in news, you know?
Yeah. That is exactly.
If BBC News were a commercial enterprise, it wouldn't make a fucking penny.
No. And also, you know, I think what I got the impression was he was like, I'm not trying to make the next Bloomberg, but this is how you sell. This is how we get people to buy into us, is that we're about to change.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's going to be profitable long term. I'm saying this is a short term game. And this is, again, every time, and you and I have seen this firsthand, companies lay off and they go, look, we have to cut 10% of the workforce, but this means we can be really lean and it means we can be really agile. And so we're going to now do this. And then when that changes, they go, look, we just need to cut 8% of the workforce and then we can zig over this way.
Yeah.
And that is what gets advertisers to not cash out.
Yeah.
No, 100%. It's like, I just need, it's like a telemarketer. Like, I just need you for 2 more minutes.
Well, it's everything that Twitter, it's everything that that Elon with Twitter hasn't done.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. But, it's really interesting. And I think, you know, they can't stand the idea. Like, they would run ATN into the ground. Let's be clear. They would not make it in Logan's image.
Because they've not got news in their blood. They haven't got a fucking clue what they're doing.
Also, bear in mind, like, 3 episodes ago, they were going, okay, we need to, when they were looking at Pierce, at PGN or PGM or whatever it's called, they were watching it in episode 2 and they were going, okay, it needs to be like pan-African. We need to lose the old people. They were trying to do that to someone else's.
Hyper-local. You'd watch that,
wouldn't
you? They
were trying to do that to someone else's company. And when someone tries to do it to ATN, they're like, no, you can't change it. But that is exactly what new people come in and they go, I don't like the color of the logo. I don't like the speed of the Chiron going across the bottom. You know, they are just as susceptible to this. But
I once exec produced an entertainment news program in America. Yeah. And first day, I was in charge of everything. Carte blanche, do whatever you like. I changed the color of a strap, like the graphic that comes under. Yeah. And the owner cried. I've been in the...
Who was it? Can you
I
say?
I can't say on air. I'll tell you off air. But yeah,
that's so funny. I mean, it's so the idea of him making any changes to ATN. All they know is that Logan wanted ATN, so they want ATN.
Yeah,
they don't know what they'd do with it, and you know the share price. So I had to write this down just because I was a bit like.
So is it 144? The offer, the original offer was 144, right? That was what it was. What Kendall
share price. Yeah, per share, 144.
So they go, they settle for 145, 143.
And then he
would
offers 187, I think.
Which is like,
and they're going,
which is an extra,
crazy.
Which is an extra 30-40%.
Yeah. But then that says, I mean, I'm not like, I feel like I'm on Carol Vorderman on Countdown here. That is 33 extra dollars per share just for ATN, which does seem a bit odd, right? Because it's a news organization. And then when they sort of later on, when they push back even further, he goes up again to 194. And it's like, look, I will just, so I'd love to know like what it actually would be in terms of billions.
Well, I mean,
what the company's worth. Cause I found it hard to put it into context.
To work it out.
Like,
and, yeah. I mean, I think, and I don't think you'd be alone. I think a lot of people would be thinking, have they just sold it for 194 billion?
I mean, that's what I thought at first. Yeah.
So, because it's a publicly traded company, so I mean, you have to. I mean, we don't know how many shares there are, you know. But it's going to be, you know, if you look at similar deals, it's going to be 50 billion. You know, it's Twitter sized. I would say, it's the same kind of. I would imagine same kind of impact as if someone bought. It's like Elon Musk buying Fox now.
Yeah, you
know? That's the equivalent of it. If he still had 20th Century Fox.
And I think I was just thinking, I'm sure Murdoch bought the Wall Street Journal for $70 billion. Is that right?
Maybe.
No. Oh, no, no, no. Wait, no, that's wrong. He bought it for like 7, because I think we talked about that when we were talking about the deal.
Bought it for $5 billion. Yeah.
And Fox sold to Disney, 20th Century Fox sold to Disney for about 70, I think.
They are $71.3 billion. So, so that's a chunk of change.
But I do think the show, I do feel like you don't have to follow the money that closely.
No, it's just because you can see everyone's reaction to it.
What they're really fighting over is like Logan, Logan's legacy, Logan's soul, Logan's, you know. And yeah, that's the thing. They think about it and eventually they decide to tank the deal.
Yeah. They do. And that kind of, That then enters into, I guess, the latter half of the show. I tell you what, we're going to take a quick break now. When we come back, we'll talk about their decision to tank the deal. We'll talk about Shiv and Matheson's kind of like campfire, brick, blood, coke, whiskey, flirting, and also Roman's fucking baller move. Back in a tick.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and diminished our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make a variety of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton and adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
Welcome back to The Sound of Succession. We're covering Season 4, Episode 5 of the final season of Succession. Hurtling towards it, the midway point, it really did.
I can't believe we're halfway through.
It did feel like a good midway point. The ending of this episode felt like, right, okay, now what's going to happen? But before we get to that, it's nighttime. There's been axe throwing. There's been the Peking duck sauna. Before we move on, can we just give... The comedy is great in the show, but it's... Sometimes, you know, the Greg stuff we've said, you know, we both said has felt a little bit ham-fisted on occasion, very rarely. But Hugo's moment in this at the buffet table where he suddenly finds himself bereftly standing there greeting people with the largest plate of food ever.
Of pastries and flatbreads.
There was bread, sweet stuff, there was meats, there was cheeses, salmon, Gravlax. And people were just piling on his plate, just like dumping him. So he had to. Yeah. It was just such an amazing
greedy little
moment where he looked down and realized it.
He met his equal, who is the version of Hugo on Mathieson's team, who is also like an Olympic ski jumper or something.
Oh, and had to do that brilliant thing. I got told that you almost came third.
That's almost really good.
That's almost really good. Though. Oh, those damn milliseconds. It was great.
And so all of Mathieson's team is so hard to read, and it causes, you know, I mean, they must have a cousin Greg on their team. You know, I'd love to have met him.
But they just had that. They played it exactly. Whenever, you know, and I love everything about Scandinavia. I love the countries. I love the aesthetic. I love the clothes. I love the food. I love the people. They're all handsome bastards, and they just had that that European Nordic European confidence in their own. Yeah. In their own kind of their low center of gravity with the world, it's just so self assured.
They're not wearing designer white trainers to a retreat. Did you hear Ken say to Roman, "I got dirt on my sneaks"?
Did you catch Shiv spotting this Tom's trainers at the beginning of the episode?
Saying, they're all on a molly come down. Their pupils are dilated, and your trainers are so bright, it's like staring at the sun.
We've not got it. In fact, we're jumping ahead because there was that brilliantly violent release of frustration with Shiv and Tom, where she scuffed his, you know, she does what we've all wanted to do when we see someone with a pair of white trainers on, and she just goes fucking scuffs them, and he immediately flicks her earlobe and says her earlobes are meaty and thick, meaty and chewy, like a meaty muscle,
like barnacle meat.
Barnacle meat. Who the fuck is
one of the meanest things you could say about us? I think that is so mean, because also it's like, I bet Shiv was like, what's a barnacle?
Yeah, is that like an oyster? Yeah, it wasn't the fact that it wasn't like even an oyster.
Poor people oysters. But they had some really interesting scraps. Obviously, he still doesn't know that she's pregnant.
Yeah.
Where are we? Where are we with the episode?
Sorry, I just
where have we got to?
I was just talking about their kind of like their set to where they were kind of like annoying each other and flicking each other, and you know, where she just really went all out. She was like, "Oh, Mathieson." This was after. Actually, sorry, I beg your pardon. This was after her tete a tete with Mathieson, wasn't it?
So, well, she looked really like embarrassed to know him when he was failing to talk about French politics with them, and I think again, like, they just know, like, these guys don't have a fucking clue. And then Tom ropes Greg in, who tries to pretend that he reads The Economist.
There was a moment, right, where you thought Greg had cracked it. I thought, fucking hell.
Yeah.
He's going to go, well, there's this thing in The Economist. And actually, the thing with Francis. Yeah. And then he just went, he had baguette, or he had nothing.
It's baguettes to bagels or something. I thought it was actually interesting because I wouldn't say I've met many cousin Gregs in my life, but I have met people that are approximate. And he probably would actually be quite well read.
They say, you know, if you walk in a room and you can't see any cousin Gregs, you know what that means, don't you, Chris?
Oh no, I'm the cousin Greg.
You're not the cousin Greg.
My family are just northern barnacle farmers or something. But yeah, I thought he would be kind of maybe a little more well read than he is. So I was a bit disappointed. And I thought that was going to be the gag, that they drag him in and he goes, it really depends, you know. But Tom's line was something like, and it sort of encapsulates ATN's view, which is like, it doesn't affect us, it doesn't matter to us. Like,
we don't care. We've got our own Paris. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll just build a new one, which is a very American response. And I just thought Shiv looked so like, oh God, that guy. And let's talk about the Mathieson scene with her, because I thought it was an amazing bit of the episode, one of my favorite bits. Kept thinking,
complete curveball.
I mean, no, I wouldn't say there was any sexual energy, and yet the sexual energy was off the charts.
It was definitely sexual energy.
But Luke, when you get the kill list at the end of the episode, most of the men are off it.
Yeah.
Right? Except Tom. Greg was not mentioned. I think Greg will be not on the kill list.
I don't think he was even senior enough to. He's just an executive assistant.
Yes, but like, not being big enough to even be on the list is a good way to make sure you're not on the list.
Yeah.
Which is really good.
Yeah.
But anyway, the thing I was going to say was the women were all kept on. And Lucas got close to Shiv in a way that I think was kind of just his only way of breaking up the trio, which didn't need much breaking up. But also, she did a really good job with him.
Yeah.
She's often been portrayed as a bit of a shit CEO, and she's not Logan, but like she's able to do more. She was sort of a bit of an advisor and a bit of a confidant, and I thought she was really smart.
Yeah, well, she was, because there must have been two sides of her brain working at the same time. On one side, it was like, suck in all this information because we've got him now. You know, this is usable. This is perfect. This will fuck him over at some point down the line. We've got him. And then at the same time, she was just like, I can help you out of this. I am valuable to you. Oh, by the way, so's Jerry. So's Carolina.
Carolina, yeah.
You know,
and that's probably why they're not on the kill list.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Yes, 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 yes.
So,
oh, that is clever.
Yeah. So he's got rid of everyone who he thinks would fuck him. He's turned. It's basically we realize that Matheson is no fucking better on any level than those guys.
No. His business is not news. It's not films. It's not cruises. He is in the business of making money because he's like a tech bro.
And so, also, is human. And he's got kink, and he's got problems, and he's got skeletons
in the closet. And he's just also like, he seemed really human. I mean, he's still so dangerous because he's just got more money than anyone. And he's also, I think, just like a different generation of rich.
He struck me as quite a Zuckerberg-y in that scene where there were moments where he just didn't, there was the line, I think Shiv said, she's right, okay, here's your three-point PR plan. Number one, you've got to stop sending her your blood. And he was kind of like,
yeah, okay. Let me just write this down.
Okay, right, stop. You know, because all through, he'd like had these kind of like witty retorts. He didn't want to Shiv just before, he didn't want to Roman. It's just like, oh, wait, you're saying if I keep offering more money, then sooner or later they'll take it. Well, that's clever, like taking the piss out of them. And then Shiv turned around, she was like, okay, rule one, don't send bricks of frozen blood to your direct reports. And he was like,
yeah,
okay, this is good stuff.
And just zoom out. Like, I know you think it's a joke.
Yeah.
But like, it doesn't read funny to anyone else.
There's no self-awareness or concept.
Scrutiny from the US media is going to be on you, and you need to... Yeah, it's really... She's good at branding. She's good at images. And she's good at optics. Yeah, that's the word I was thinking of. And the other kids... Roman's never needed that. Ken has never needed it. And she has, because she's had to figure out... She's the kind of the one that had a job outside of the firm. So I thought it was
And politics is all about the optics, you know?
And that's why she was the one that got the tip-off. Also, while Ken and Roman were having their deal with Matheson, she's the one that got the tip-off that Mencken has been jumping on the daily... The morning briefings at ATN. His team has been speakerphone.
Yeah.
And they're like, look, this is really bad.
Yeah.
This is not good.
And Sid, which is probably the saving grace for Tom, which is, you know,
exactly,
explains then why all of a sudden she's kind of like, why don't we go out for dinner, you sexy little thing? And Tom's just like, wait, what? What the fuck? You know, do you want to sack Sid? You know, all of that is purely
because she realizes that if she sticks with Matheson, she might get made head of something.
Yeah.
But she needs someone in her pocket to handle ATN, and that's Tom.
Yeah, it was a great,
really interesting. And I love, because Shiv's always down on her luck in the man's world and in the Roy family, and she's not as thick as people think. But also, Matheson hasn't got an equal that is not a man. So to have someone come in and be like, kind of impress him, but in a different way. Yeah. I also think he strikes me as the kind of guy that, because he spends so much time online, and because he spends so much time on like the dark corners of the internet, I think he is a raging misogynist, and I think he's dangerous, and I think he underestimates a lot of women. But that is something that Shiv has been able to manipulate. I think she sort of knows he's not the biggest feminist in the world.
Yeah.
But it might stand her in good stead. And I think, it was a really good scene. Just
it was great.
Really electrifying.
And then we had a bit of a kind of epilogue to that, where in any other kind of like hookup, that phone call from Matheson saying, send me a picture, would have been asking for a pair of tits. In fact, he did ask for a pair of tits.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
He did ask for a pair of tits, but it was Kendall and Roman.
And, hey!
You know, send me... You know, that was... Do you know what I mean? That was quite an intimate moment between the pair of them, wasn't it?
Yeah, and she... The fact that she did that for him is really interesting. Yeah. Because do you know what I thought when I watched it, though? Asking for a picture of their faces when they realised that them trying to fuck him over, fuck them over.
Yeah.
Getting a picture of that is such a Logan Roy thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's what she responded to. It's so interesting with Shiv. She always wanted a man who was like her dad.
Mm.
I don't know why she's with Tom, because he's too soft. His corners are too soft. He's not, you know, difficult enough. She's grown up with this angry, difficult man as her father.
Mm.
And she's got with Matheson, she's got this like weird man to sort of try and like dance around. And I think it's going to get sexy and sexual very quickly. I think she's going to get fucked over like by the end of the series. But I think it's a really fascinating, like,
yeah, definitely.
Right. Development.
Look, let's talk about that amazing, the mountaintop showdown, which was just fucking incredible. I think I don't even really know where to begin. So they had no plan. The plan, like it was on the sheet of paper, like you say, it was, you know, higher than 144, lower than 144, whatever. Let's talk about what led Roman to get into that state of mind, which was this little sidebar throughout the episode of Connor being in, like, arranging Logan's funeral, which we can expect to happen in the next couple of episodes, I think.
Yeah,
it seems as though. But Marsha had intervened and insisted that that Logan's body, that he's dressed in a kilt.
Yeah.
Now, why that's a problem, don't know. The guy was fucking Scottish. But there was some conversation that needs to happen. So it's a bit of a weird kind of like MacGuffin to kind of get under Roman's skin, but it did. You know, don't send me a picture. Don't send me a picture. It was already fucking with him having to think about his dad dead and his dad's body lying there cold on a slab somewhere. And then seconds before they arrive on the mountaintop in the cable car, Connor just sends him a fucking picture of his dead dad.
Yeah.
Which
you hear
the
airdrop noise, don't you?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
The air dropped it at the highest point in Sweden or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Connor, bless him, has been given the emotional labor of dealing with it. And the kids are just not interested at the start of the episode, are they?
No.
They think of it as a burden.
We're not going to shout at you. Whatever you decide, you've got full...
Literally says, what is it you are wanting us to do?
Yeah.
Right? And, it, you know, poor Connor, they're sort of saying, whatever decision you do is probably going to be wrong, but we don't want to help you make it any easier. And so Connor, and this is what we were talking about at the start, like everyone's turning ill on each other. There's no united front. So when this airdropped picture, which I presume is of Logan's dressed body,
I guess,
comes through to Roman, it just freaks him out. Yeah. And it makes him realize that this has been, you know, last episode he said, I think I just pre-grieved. I've done all my grieving, and we realised they've all been grieving at very different points. And he just, Kieran Culkin was amazing. He just kind of fell apart, didn't he?
It just knocked him for six. Yeah. So all through that, and all through that scene, you know, before we got to that bit, you know, are you Scooby doing me here? You know, he saw through all their bullshit, and right up until the moment that Roman flipped. He was just in full control of the whole thing. He was just like, you know, fuck you. That's the price, blah, 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 blah. And that, you can see, you know, just Roman's face just turning. It was just like, I'm going to do it. Fuck it. I'm going to do it. And you heard, you know, Ken just go, Rome, stop, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And in that instant, he turned into his dad. And he terrified, Matheson. He's just like, I fucking hate you.
Yeah, he called him like a sadistic, what did he say?
Sadistic dog.
You're an inhuman fucking dog.
Yeah.
And he said that because of the way you've been behaving, you killed our father with stress by making him come over and fix this.
Yeah.
And it was so intense. The thing I found really fascinating, because I think Roman has such a complex psychological structure as a person, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Matheson's having a piss against a rock, which is, again, such a machismo, like, such a power
move.
It's a
literal dick-swinging contest.
I'm going to literally piss. Roman goes, sits on the rock, facing him, pissing on.
Yeah.
Facing him. And it's something, like, really... You know, he can't make himself bigger. Like, Skarsgård is like...
But he made himself taller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Skarsgård is so tall that he makes people that are 6'3" look short. Mm. Like, he's a big lad.
Yeah.
And I just thought the way that Roman just unleashed it, it was just incredible. And I don't think you could... I felt there were times when you were like, he can't control this.
Mm.
It's like gushing out of him like a nosebleed.
Yeah, yeah.
And... You know, you're watching it thinking, oh my God, they fucked the deal. But all they've done is show just how emotionally welded they are to this deal, not in terms of, there's no business, you know, sense here.
No, it's there was no, I think there's a bit of an ADR overdub where they were waiting for the cable car where they had to get it in. I was like, I wonder how SEC approvals would think about that kind
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. When they were going back down.
Yeah.
And am I right in thinking that helicopter was Matheson?
Fuck them. He just like zoomed off. So I think my take on what happened then was that they just out negotiated him. He just, you know, all along, he was just like, these guys will sell. They need to sell. They need to buy Pierce. What he hadn't counted on the fact was that they're all fucking mad and that he had really, really upset Roman. So they were just like, you know what? I fucking hate you. I don't care. Fuck you. We're already rich, which is something that Kendall had said.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. He's like, you actually can't give us any money we don't already have.
Yeah. So they both called each other's bluff. And the Roys had just decided, yeah, we're not playing this anymore. Fuck off. And he was just like, shit. And he zoomed off, in my mind, because he needed to speak to his board to say, fuck, I've fucked it. I've ballsed it up. We need to offer them another 15 pence on the pound, another 15 cents, another $15 on the share.
It would be an extra $15 per share.
Yeah, which is a fucking lot of money, which caught everyone by surprise. You know, he couldn't even bring himself to speak to them directly, so he phoned Carl, who was also on the list. So, like, Carl's last job for Waystar was to tell them that he'd made a load of money. So, but he was happy. He didn't give a shit. He was like, let the good times roll. Yeah. Matheson couldn't even speak to them. Because he'd lost, you know, they'd beaten him in a negotiating deal.
Yeah.
But he'd got ATM.
So do you feel like Matheson's lost in that sort of, in that spot?
I feel like he got what he wanted, which was ATN and the whole shooting match, but he lost in terms of he had to pay a fuckload of money for it because he didn't have any choice. There was no wiggle room anymore. Now, you know, even when they were sat at the table being nasty to each other and speaking in their own language and this, that, and the other, and like, you're a fucking tribute band, you know, which was, you know, all of that stuff was going. They ended it with going, let's get it done. You know, let's work our way through this. Let's work our way through this. We'll get this done. Let's, you know, are we okay? Shiv was like, are we okay here? No, we're okay. We're just, you know, blah, blah, blah. At the end of when Roman walked away from him, there was nothing more to talk about.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting, though, that, like, I think Matheson knew that the conversation was going to be explosive, which is why he had it on top of a mountain. Because earlier, they were like, let's just have it out here with it when he had all of his soldiers around.
Yeah.
That conversation would have sunk Matheson if it was around his people. And I think he sort of knew on some level we have to have it away. But I think Matheson really got what he wanted because they said, we're going to drag this out over months.
Yeah.
And he got them to do it. But I also think, because Ken's right, he said, look, we're already rich. They're not doing it for money. He's bought the piece of the company that had Logan's soul in it.
Yeah.
And it's quite... actually, really weirdly, like the other night, I was watching a really old episode of The Simpsons, because that's the only thing I watch on Disney Plus. There's an episode where Bart sells his soul for $10, $5. He writes Bart's soul on a piece of paper, sells it to Milhouse. And he starts to have this like psychological breakdown because he doesn't think he has a soul. And it just reminded me of that episode because they've got a really good price, but they've lost the bit that their dad wanted. And so they're like, that, I think that is going to be the, that's going to haunt them.
Maybe. But on the flip side of that, what's happened is that Kendall and Roman, in the eyes of everyone on that plane, are now business fucking legends. Yeah. They're going to go down in history books. Yeah. And actually, they did nothing.
Yeah. They got the thing they didn't want. They got the opposite outcome.
Yeah. But you know, I still think in terms opposite. Of, I think in terms of Kendall and Roman versus Matheson, they won that for sure. Because his last words to Roman were just like, you've just fucked it.
Mm.
You know, he was still playing bravado, whereas actually he'd lost. He could not have lost that deal. There's something I think we'll find out where Gojo, blah, 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 are in some trouble, or there's something that they needed to happen because he couldn't lose that deal.
Alan Menken stuff is going to be really bad. You know, there's a reason we've been doing the maths. Every day is an episode.
Mm-hmm.
The election should be the finale. You know, these are the reason. Yeah. This Menken's been sitting in on the calls. That's why Sid's going, you know, that is not what Lucas Matheson wants. He doesn't want a far right network. And I just think I kind of was wondering actually this morning, you know, in season two, there was like a satellite exploded and that ended up happening with Elon Musk's rocket like the other day.
Yeah.
I sort of wondered if there's going to be some weird like far right, like Jan the 6th rally type or thing. Some insurrection inspired, like I just think something, the politics is sort of, it is what could sink Matheson's fortune if he's tied to ATN and ATN is toxic.
Maybe the really exciting
thing is you think you've bought Logan's legacy, but you can't change it. Like it lives and dies with Logan. But yeah, it's just an amazing episode.
Fantastic. It was great.
What else? Is there any stray bits we missed? Anything
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
I can think of.
Tell you a quote I liked when Frank and Carl wouldn't go in the sauna, which I loved.
Yeah.
There you go. Carl says, "Poor bastards, hanging in the window like Peking duck."
That's great. It was very good.
That looked lovely, that sauna.
The kill list, who survived? I mean, just as we discussed, the women survived. Carl and Frank are fucked. Frank seemed to be kind of like, well, it's only a pencil. It's not, nothing's confirmed.
Yeah.
Carl was just like, let the good times roll. Carl's just thinking, buy my fucking shares.
He's got
shares.
That Greek island, doesn't
yeah.
he?
Isn't he's got that, Greek that's island, him. His brother he's got the Greek,
yeah.
Yeah.
There was a few people in there, like some guy called Mark, who was in the plane, who was like, oh God, I thought, who the fuck are you?
Who is that guy? I mean, he was just one of the PR team, I think, wasn't he? He was all must part be, of Carolina yeah, and Hugo's be. Team.
But yeah, you know, the Tom's
the compression
kind of...
socks. I like the compression socks scene. That's one thing we didn't say, was when they get on the plane. It must have been the first time they've all got on a plane since Logan's death. All the old geezers are blaming the compression socks.
Listen,
that's great.
I just thought that is such a fucking good detail. Because they, you know, Tom's looking at them like, how lame, and they're going, well, do you want to die at the toilet this, you know, on this journey, mate?
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're at a certain age where you've got to focus on your compression.
Yeah.
Great episode. Loved
great
it.
Episode. Shall we watch the teaser trailer?
Let's do it.
Section
episode 6 already. I just can't get over it.
I can't either. Here we go. I'll see you the other side.
All right.
Could we build me a Living Plus house?
As in?
Small. Plywood, basic brickwork, nothing crazy.
This is for tomorrow? It's certainly an exciting vision.
It's very exciting about the deal. What's he like?
If there's someone on the inside, it could be of a value.
Still keeping all your options open.
You should be careful with that.
I'm worried, bro. You're out of control. He's out of control. You know he could do anything up there.
He's got that gleam in his eye.
Oh, fuck yeah.
That looks so good. So they're doing a big kind of board presentation.
Yeah, they're selling it to the shareholders. So Matheson's over in New York, or bit at the beginning, I thought I was having a flashback to Ken's party organisation. So he's having a wanted a small plywood house.
Wanted
built.
A sort of maybe like a Scandinavian inspired Tim, like a plywood house.
Some kind of like ill advised kind of like theatrical moment's going to happen. Tom's cottoned on. Tom seems to have cottoned on to Shiv and Matheson's closeness even more.
Yeah, they took a plane together.
Yeah. He could.
Roman seems to be on the set of the, you know, their film the studio lot. He seems to be on some studio lot. Shiv, I think Shiv getting close to Lucas is going to be.
It's going to be great.
I mean, do we think? No, it's the time frame won't work. But I was like, are we going to have a who's the dad? Like, is she going to claim she's pregnant with his kid?
Love it. Right. And as the old wise ones said, Kendall's got a gleam in his eye. And
dangerous.
I'm having flashbacks to when Carl was having to stand. Was it Carl or Frank having, when they're all having to do the stand-in, waiting for someone to arrive at that presentation before, waiting for someone to turn
when Logan
up.
Had his UTI, when they were sort of all
trying he was
to
pissed
time.
Mad. He was pissed mad, and they're all standing in at the conference, and then you saw Kendall kind of coming out of the shadows and standing behind. Oh God. We love a presentation. We love a deck.
So good.
Amazing.
Love a deck. Well, I'll see you in the boardroom.
See you in the boardroom. I'm very much looking forward to it. with my memory foam hard on.
Yeah. I'll bring the Coke.
Later.
This is the Sound of Succession podcast with Jamie East and Chris Mandel is part of the Dragon Cast series where we talk about the best TV shows in the world. HBO, please don't sue us.
You know what to do, like and subscribe, fuck off.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and diminished our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make a variety of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.